Get your Bibles open there, and we're going to study a little bit here this evening. And Romans chapter 12 that we've been looking at here, and we'll go on this again. And we're talking about the will of God, the will of God. And this will be the last service we're going to have on this. And all you young people need to really, really, really pay attention. And mamas and daddies too. You don't want to miss God's will for your life. You really don't. You want God's will to be done. Life is hard. I talked to a lady today, the dollar store there down below where I live, and she said, "You're a preacher, ain't you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she began to tell me about some problems she's having and stuff, and I invited her to church. And she said, "Well, it's this, that, my family won't, my brother won't speak to me, and this, that." And I said, "Look, life is hard. Life is hard if you're living right. Life is harder if you're living wrong. Amen. It's hard either way. And it's not going to be a breeze. Everything ain't going to always be easy for you. But you'll be a whole lot better off in the will of God." Now, I was joking around with somebody the other night, and I said, "Man, the more we talk about the will of God, the less I know what it is. I feel like it's getting more and more complicated." But it's really not. Technically tonight, the will of God for you is very simple. It's just you do what you ought to be doing right now. That's really. Now, we want the will of God like His plan for our life and next year and next month. And He don't always show us that. But do the will of God for you right now. And you're in the will of God. You say, "I don't know if I'm in the will of God." Well, do what you're supposed to be doing right now. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing right now, you are in the will of God. Because you don't know what's going to happen. I got a phone call about an hour before I left to come to church tonight. A man called me. He does not go to this church. You don't know his name. A man called me. He said, "I need a preacher." He said, "I need prayer." I said, "What's wrong?" He named his wife. He said, "My wife left me today, this morning." He's one of my neighbors. I said, "My goodness, what in the world happened?" He said, "I have no idea. Come home, she's gone. She wasn't here when she's supposed to get home from work." He said, "I had no clue." He said, "I didn't even know she was gone till I got on. I was checking my bank account and my debit card. She had got $45 worth of gas today in West Virginia. And she's headed up north, back to where her family's from." And he was all to pieces. And I said, "Man, I'm sorry." I said, "Y'all ain't been fussing?" "No." I said, "Y'all ain't been, you didn't fight?" He said, "No." Of course, you know how that goes. The man is completely clueless, while the woman, the whole world's caving in on her. That's the way it always is. And he said, "I thought everything was fine." He said, "I didn't know we had a problem." I said, "Y'all didn't have a big fight last night or nothing?" He said, "No." He said, "I told her good night and I loved her and she didn't say nothing." Sometimes saying nothing is saying a lot, ain't it? He said, "Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for that dear guy. He's all to pieces." He had no idea. I mean, brother, that song they sang, "It was such a lovely day." He had just got to where he caught up on his bills. He was doing better, and the sun was shining bright, and suddenly without warning. I mean, boy, the bottom falls out. And so, you know what you better do? You better be in the will of God. Because if you're in the will of God, you can handle things a whole lot better when the storms of life come. Romans chapter 12 talks about the will of God. And he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now I'm going to say a few things, backtrack just a little bit for you that were not here, and say just a couple of little things. And then we'll try to bring you some more insight on this subject. I think we I think we make it more complicated than it really is, this thing of the will of God, because when we think about the will of God, we're always thinking about, like we were talking about the other night, the bus route. Are you supposed to be a missionary somewhere? Has God called you to preach? And really, when you come right down to it, most of the time, when the Bible talks about the will of God, it's just talking about you living right. It's not talking about a calling. It's talking about you just... That verse that I read you, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, except the will of God, it said, be not conformed to this world. We're not supposed to be wicked, worldly. You're not supposed to get drunk, commit immorality, lying, cheating, stealing, all of that stuff. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Another verse over there, and I think it's 1 Peter, said, you're to abstain from fornication, which is the will of God. It's the will of God. So, you kids, everybody, abstain. You're not supposed to have sexual relations outside of marriage. That's the will of God. Are you not doing that? You're doing God's will. Are you living for God? You're doing God's will. It's not as complicated as, well, I don't know if the Lord wants me to go here, He wants me to go there, He wants me to go the other. My pastor taught me two things, a lot of things, two things about this that I'll never forget. He said, number one, he said, I get up every morning and I commit myself to God and I say, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life, and I commit my life to you. I'm giving myself to you. I'm acknowledging you to direct my path. And he said, I just go and do the best I can, and I figure all I'm in the will of God that day. And that's good advice. Because you'll drive yourself crazy saying, should I have turned left back there at that light? Maybe I should have turned right. Oh no, I'm out of the will of God now. The rest of the day I'm doomed. You'll wind up going nuts doing stuff like that. And I know people have done that. And the other thing he told me, he said, beware of these people that are always so sure that God's told them this and God's told me that. And I'll be honest with you, it used to bother me. I'd be around these preachers. I never met such a bunch of secure people in my life. Hey, bless God, I was coming over here and God said, stop at that convenience store. And I stopped and God said, go in there and tell them. And God, I mean, it was almost like God dictates every word to them there. And I think, man, He don't do that to me. And I think they're lying or just deceiving themselves. Now, I'm not saying God can't. I'm not saying God can't lead you. But it's not quite as cut and simple as a lot of these super spiritual people try to make it. You got to watch out for these people that's always saying, I know God wants me to do that, and I know God. My pastor said, you pray and you yield yourself to God, and then you say, the best I know, I feel the Lord's leading me to do thus and so. Be careful of just saying, I know it, God will. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying be careful. That's not a term just to be loosely thrown out and saying, well, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. I bought this pair of shoes and God told me to go back and get that other pair. And I went back and God told me. I don't think God does half the stuff He gets blamed for. Amen? So be careful of just loosely blaming everything on God's will. And another thing we talked about here a couple weeks ago was about signs and stuff like that. We talked about signs. And technically speaking, it's not even scriptural to ask God for a sign. Now, we always go back to Gideon. We always, and that man in Genesis 24 and all that. But all those are Old Testament stories. And all of those are before they had a Bible. And when Gideon put the fleece out and said, do this, Lord, and I'll do that, and show me that, I'm not saying it can't happen, but there's nowhere in the New Testament where we're instructed to ask God for signs. You have to be careful about stuff like that, because it's not. You got the Word of God and the Spirit of God inside you. Did you know the people in the Old Testament weren't spiritually circumcised? Did you know the people in the Old Testament weren't part of the body of Christ? Did you know the people in the Old Testament didn't have the permanent residence of the Holy Ghost inside them as part of them? And they did not have the completed revelation of God like we've got. So God did some stuff then that He might not always do for us now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God can't. I'm not saying I've done a fleece before. But you got to be careful about that kind of stuff. You know, like I told you, the illustration was Lord, if you want me to give $100 tonight, let two red camels walk in that door back there right now in Jesus' name. You know, people pray stuff like that. But you can't always go with that. If you pray for a sign, make the sign to your disadvantage. Say, Lord, if you don't want me to give $100 tonight, let two camels walk in that door immediately in Jesus' name. See, you know it ain't going to happen. You have to give $100. So be careful. Be careful about, you know, sometimes we're just lazy and backslid and we ain't prayed up. So we say, God, show me a sign so I won't have to pray this through. You know, I'm not saying God don't. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's always wrong. But them Pharisees coming lower, and the Lord said one time, he said, you guys seeking after a sign, you ain't going to get no sign. The only sign you're going to get is Jonah the prophet. And he's done dead and gone, and I'm going to be just like him, dead 3 days and come up the third day as a sign. That's all the sign you're getting. You ain't getting no more sign. You Pharisees always wanting a sign. I'll stop right there because I've not even got to what I'm going to talk about tonight. Does anybody want to ask something or say anything about this sign business? I'm asking God for a sign. The reason you can't say, all right, God, if you want me to do this, let this happen. You say, Brother Danny, you ever do that? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. But I'm saying you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. Anybody? Nobody. We got that all figured out. I'm talking about stuff the Bible's not clear on. If the Bible's clear on it, they ain't nothing to pray about. If the Bible's clear on it, there's no question. You don't have to say, what is your will? That's his will. That's his will. Whatever he said in there is his will. If it's stuff like the Bible don't say, then you got to pray for God's will. And sometimes there's scriptural principles that ain't mentioned in the Bible. Like smoking pot. The Bible don't say it's wrong to smoke pot. But anybody with a brain knows there's a principle that said smoking pot, drugs, fall in the same category as alcohol. It does the same thing. It messes up your judgment. So it's all covered under that. The Bible don't say it's wrong to make crystal meth. But just because they come out with something new, same thing as alcohol and demonic spirit. And it does mention it over in the book of Revelation about those sorceries. But anyway, stuff like that. You don't have to pray about stuff like that. You don't have to pray, is it God's will for me to do this and that, Lord? Let this happen if it's your will. Have I ever done that? Yes, I have. Will I do it again? I'm sure I will. Does it always work? No. Can you always go by it? No. Just be careful about it. Anybody? Exactly right. It's exactly right. Yeah. The problem with that is, if you ain't even close enough to God to get an answer, and the second highest power in the universe is out there trying to deceive you, and he'll throw something in there. Amen? Have you ever done this? Said, Lord, now if you want me to know that, let the phone ring right now. And then it does, you know.
Right. It's not automatic. It's right. You're working it out.
Well, and I'm going to tell y'all something. There's been lots of times in my Christian life when I wasn't sure that I was in the will of God, and then after I got down the road, I looked back and I was. Yeah. That's what might be what that means, proven over years and years. I've made some decisions in my Christian life I was scared to death. When we started this church, I was all two pieces. People talk about having peace. I didn't have no peace either way. I didn't have peace to do it. I didn't have peace not to do it. But it felt like I was having a baby. I don't know what that feels like. But I was giving birth. You know, it felt like it was in me. It was in me. It was in me. And Lord, I know this is coming. I know this is coming. And just, blah, there it goes. I'm going to do it. That's the way it comes. But I had doubts. I was, I love them. What an illustration. I was pregnant with this thing, brother. And I sort of believe that when a man's got a burden for something. It's conceived in you, and you feel like God wants you to do it, and it'll either go away or get stronger and stronger and stronger. I have had burdens where I really felt like the Lord wanted me to do something, and then it just went away. It was there for a while, and it went away. And then I have them that stayed and stayed and stayed till I finally acted on it. I've had lots of burdens. I used to Every time we'd have a missionary, I'd feel like God wanted me to go wherever that missionary is going. Every time. I don't know if you've ever felt like that or not. Missionary to China, missionary to Japan. And you think, man, the Lord wants me to do that. And one day it hits me. I mean, He can't want me everywhere. You got to be careful. You got to be careful about quitting stuff or resigning your Sunday school class or resigning. You got to be careful because the devil will make you think. He's made me think that before. He's made me think, man, you'd be better off just to go somewhere you'd be. And then it's the devil talking to you because the Lord don't talk like that. I know I'm just spitting out a bunch of stuff right now. There's a preacher called me this week. He's in another state. He was here at the youth rally. He said, Brother Danny, he said, I think I'm just going to resign my church. And I said, really, brother? He said, yeah. He said, I prayed about it. Me and my wife want to do some other stuff. And I want to preach around different places and stuff. He said, I believe I just want to resign my church. And I said, well, what's wrong, brother? He said, I don't know. He said, well, he said, I got up. Now, everybody listen to this. He said, I got up and I preached on visitation. And he said, I want all of our men to go visiting. And we met at the church. He said, not one of them showed up. Not one. He said, I just can't get them to do nothing. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, your decision to leave isn't based on prayer and the will of God. It's based on the lack of response you're getting from them people. That's the wrong reason. You can't, I'm not God, but I feel like just because somebody didn't show up for visitation is not necessarily God telling me I'm supposed to resign. I'd have done resigned by now, if that's true. Amen? That's right. It takes more than that. A lot of preachers say, well, these people ain't cooperating with me and they won't listen to me, so I'm leaving. I'm not saying it ain't the will of God, but I would. That's not the reason for me to go nowhere. That wouldn't be the reason for me to go. He said, well, maybe I can do better somewhere else. Man, people's the same everywhere. They just as sorry over there as they are here. The grass ain't greener on the other side of the fence. They're all people. They're all flesh. And I thought about today. I thought, man, I ought to call him back and say, stick it out. Stick it out, brother. Just stay. Stay and fight that battle. Stay and fight that battle. Stay and butt heads with that old deacon. Stay and butt heads with that old codger that's been there 480 years and donated the land the church was built on. He'll die after a while and go on for God. And I don't know if I would tell him that or not, but I feel like I should in a way. I don't mess with people. I don't try to tell people what God's will is. I know preachers that do, but I don't. One time, there's a real famous preacher, and I know Jason. He might have even been there. Remember this? There's a famous preacher. I know Lorraine knows him, and he's well known for preaching on the perfect will of God. And he's a great preacher. He's a great man, and I am not worthy to untie his shoe. But he always preaches on the perfect will of God. We was out at the camp meeting up there in Nebo one night, and he was preaching. And we had a girl there from our church, and Marianne, and she was about 19 years old. And I don't care if you like it or not, I'm going to preach. Buddy. I know your mama's telling you to rebel. He was up preaching about the will of God, and there was a girl there about 19 years old, and she'd come every night, and I had married her and a guy from our church about, she'd been married maybe 6 months, but she looked 16 or 17, you know, younger than she was. And this guy, he was preaching, great man, he come over and he said, stand up, young lady. And she stood up and he said, the will of God is God's going to give you a husband. He said, God's going to give you a big husband. And he said, I know it's the will of God for soon a husband to be given you. And everybody's just sitting there in their life saying, man, she'd been married about 6 months. You know, and it was really crazy. And another time, that same preacher was preaching over Lenore. And it's, I know but Tim knows the preacher. And he said, he told it to this preacher, and he said, it's the perfect will of God for you to marry this woman in his church. And the preacher came up to him. It was Horace Minton who it was. Y'all know Horace. And old Horace came up to him, and he said, brother, this is one time you missed the perfect will of God. He said, I ain't marrying her. So you got to be careful trying to tell somebody else what the will of God is for them. Be careful. Now, there's certain things I can tell you that it's God's will. It's God's will for you to go to church. God's will for you to read the Bible. It's God's will for you to pray. It's God's will for you to live right. It's God's will for you to witness. It's God's will for you. But as far as your personal choices and car you buy and the house you live, there are preachers that try to do that. Did you know there's independent Baptist churches where the preacher absolutely dictates to people? The people come and ask him, can I go get a job somewhere? Can I do this? Is it all right with you if we do? Listen, brother, that's carrying pastoral authority too far. I believe in pastoral authority, and I believe the Bible teaches that people are supposed to follow the pastor. But he's not to dictate. This ain't a cult. You know, I can tell you wear a blue shirt or a green shirt or whatever. There are churches like that where all the guys dress exactly in the same color as the pastor. And I'll give you a hard time with that if you try to keep up with me. But I like color, brother. I can't stand just grays and browns. But I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me? I can't tell you what kind of cereal to feed your kids. I can't tell you what color socks to buy. I can tell you the basic will of God for your life and help you pray about the other stuff. But I thought I'd tell that preacher. I said, man, I don't know. I know another preacher. He knows who I'm talking about. Was at camp with us last year. Had some problems. They know who I'm talking about. And some of the women in the church got on Nosebook and was saying bad stuff about the pastor's wife. And it hurt her feelings. And I mean, a pastor's wife has to put up with the junk. And she can't get up and bless everybody out like he does. She has to just take it. And she got on Nosebook, and the other women in the church were talking bad about her. And she was crying and all two pieces. And it got to the point where he thought, man, she's going to leave me. Right? And so he resigned his church. You know what I think? I think he ought to fought it out. I think he ought to set her down and say, honey, this is a devil fighting us. I'm with you. I'll support you 100%. Let's hang in here and do what God wants us to do and sit down with them people and say, look, we want to get along here and try to fight it out. That's what I think. I might be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I'm just saying, to me, that don't sound like the way God would tell you His will. That's all I'm saying. Some backslid, wicked person running their mouth. When we started this church, I had a preacher, jumped me in the parking lot over there on Carbon City. He said, Danny, what do you think you're doing? I said, we're starting a church right here. One preacher got mad and said that Burke County wasn't big enough for him and Danny Castle. I guess it ain't. He left. I'm still here. But anyway, he said, what are you doing? I said, we're starting a church. He said, what makes you think you can do that? I said, man, I prayed about it and I'm trying to do the will of God. And I'm like, man, he shook me up. And I thought, what if that's the Lord telling me not to do that? And I thought, now, does that sound like the way the Lord would tell you? No. A bitter, jealous, wicked person probably ain't led by the Spirit. It's like these people that come to you and they say, you don't go there, do you? Shining light. Let me, you have no. I doubt seriously they're led by the Lord. I doubt seriously. I don't believe they're led by the Lord. I believe they're led by the devil. And I believe that guy was led by the devil. My friends was praying for me, saying, brother, I'm behind you. You go do what God tells you to do. And my pastor and people I got confidence in. When people tell you stuff like that, you look at their life. Look at the fruit, what kind of fruit they're bearing. Look at the life they're living. Look at the fruit. You got to be careful about letting people just knock you around here and there. And I know preachers that scared to death that they're going to offend somebody. One of their preacher friends are going to disagree with them or something, going to hurt their feelings, and they won't do nothing because they're scared. You got to stick your neck out sometime or another and stand for God. I'm just rambling right now. Anybody want to say something right there? I'm going to tell you about the will of God here. All right, here's what I got for you, and I'm going to give you this and we'll be through. Here's how I think you know the will of God, and I didn't make this up. This was written by George Mueller, one of the greatest men in church history. I believe it was him. He read the Bible through 100 times on his knees and 100 other times, and he lived for God, walked with God, and so I'm all ears when a man like that speaks. Don't mean he's God, but I sure am willing to listen to what he's got to say. He said, number one, when you're trying to figure out the will of God, number one, pray until you have no will of your own.
Well, yeah.
That's the hard part. If you can ever do that, you're 90% there. That's the hard part. The hard part is this just me wanting to do this? Or is this God telling me to do this?
Sure.
Is this just my own flesh? Or is this the will of God for my life? Is it because I'll make money? Or is it because it'll be easier for me? Or is it because I'll be well liked at school or I'll get a promotion at work? Here's what you do. You get down to you pray and pray and pray till you can say with a sincere heart, Lord, it don't matter. If I do it all right, if I don't, all right. When you get to that point, you're halfway there, brother. You're over halfway there. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. Just pray and say, I don't know. I don't care. Most of the time, you're not 100% sure. Most of the time. I was going to read you something here about the will of God. I've seen this season. All kind of good stuff in here. It says, you ask, what is the will of God? Hear the answer true. The nearest thing that should be done that He can do through you.
Yeah.
One more time. You ask, what is the will of God? Well, here's the answer true. The nearest thing that should be done that He can do through you. If I'm out here and there's a man I need to witness to, that's the will of God for me right then. Is the best thing I can do that He can do through me at that moment. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Now, when you're talking about moving, or you're talking about taking another job, or buying a house, or getting married, or going to college, that's a whole other ball game. It's not that simple. That's where you got to pray until you have no will of your own. Have you ever wanted to do something real bad, and you pray about it, and all you're doing when you're praying is trying to talk God into agreeing with you and telling you to go ahead and do it? Sure you have. Sure you have. We pray, oh boy, Lord, I've seen that car and I love it. Lord, is it your will? Is it your will? I'm signing papers. Is it your will, Lord? Please let it be your will. I believe it's your will. You want good things for your children, don't you, Lord? And about 6 months later, I'd give anything in the world if I hadn't have done that. That thing, I can't pay the payments. My insurance has gone up. It's been tore up ever since then. And I don't know. I don't know about all that. Number two, seek guidance through the Scriptures. Seek guidance through the Scriptures. Now that don't mean just flip it open, whatever it says, do it. But that means in your daily Bible reading, and prayer, sometimes God will speak to you through His Word. I'd trust that a lot more than I would something on TV. One man said he was watching TV and the Lord showed him he was going to be one of the two witnesses of Revelation by watching TV. Now he's crazy. He died, and his congregation waited on him to resurrect from the dead about a month in that Michigan. They finally made him bury him. And he was crazy. The Lord didn't show him nothing. I wouldn't trust what the Lord showed you while you were watching TV. I'm not saying He couldn't. I just don't know if I'd trust Him. I believe I'd rather read my Bible. And as you read it, you can see. Not only that, number three, seek guidance through other Christians. Seek guidance through other Christians. Ask people. Ask somebody spiritual what they think about it. You say, Lord, I'm not going to ask my pastor because I don't. You know why? You know what he's going to say? Sometimes a girl or boy going to date or something, they'll say, are you talking to Brother Danny about it? Lord, no, I'm not asking him. Why? Because you know that guy is a thug and a loser, and you'll know I say not a good idea, and you don't want the will of God. That's a dangerous way to be. You better find somebody more spiritual than you and ask them, what do you think about it? That don't mean they're right, but in multitude of counselors, there's safety. When I started church, I called my pastor and I asked him, I said, what do you think? You tell me. Be honest with me. Don't worry about being nice. Don't worry about hurting my feelings. Tell me what you think. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do that. Find somebody that's more spiritual than you and ask them. Say, look, don't worry about hurting my feelings. Don't worry about making me mad. You tell me what you think about this. Is it dumb? Is it good? Is it smart? What do you think? That girl this morning asked me about a situation. And you know what I told her? I didn't want to hurt her feelings, but I told her, I said, I don't normally think it's a good idea. I said, it's between you and God. I'm not condemning you, but you got two strikes against you if you do this. And I tried to give her advice. So seek guidance through other Christians. Number three. And when I say seek guidance through other Christians, I mean sometimes your mom, sometimes your pastor. How many of you ever been praying about something and lo and behold, I'd get up here and preach on it or something and just nail it down? See, sometimes you get it like that. Sometimes. And then number four, seek guidance through providential circumstances. What does that mean? That means if the Lord says, I want you to drive, somebody says, I want you to drive to Boone and witness to a man, Danny, and I start up the road and the road's blocked and there's 4 foot of snow, it probably wasn't the Lord told me to do that. Providential circle. Sometimes doors just shut. Sometimes doors shut. That's all there is to it. And it's pretty easy to figure out God's will. You say, well, I was going to go into business with this man and he died. Well, it wasn't the will of God, evidently. somebody said, God told me to go up there and witness this man. They said, well, how'd it go? He said, he wasn't home. I don't know. Would the Lord tell you to go witness to a man if he wasn't home? I don't know. He might. He wouldn't tell you to go witness to him if he ain't home. He might tell you to go up there. He might say, go to that man's house. But he wouldn't say, go talk to that man about his soul if he ain't there. All right? Seek guidance through providential circumstances. And one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do in your Christian life is figure out, is this the devil trying to stop me or is this God shutting the door? That's one of the hardest things in the Christian life is answering that question. Is this the devil trying to stop me or is this God shutting the door? The last thing is seek guidance through the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit will impress you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He is our guide. You can be led by the Spirit. You can't always go by how you feel. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Somebody asked me about how God changed his mind. He did in the Old Testament. He sure did. He said he was going to destroy Nineveh. And they all prayed and fasted. And then he said he changed. He had done pronounced their doom. It's 40 days and you're going to be overthrown. I think when they rejected him, Paul, they turned to the Gentiles. It was his will for them Jews to accept him. And if you really want to get heavy doctrine, John the Baptist came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Ain't no telling what would have happened if them Jews had accepted him. Of course, he knew they wouldn't. But then he said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. So, but I don't know. It's the only one I can think of. Maybe. I don't know. Jonah's message was not, if y'all don't repent, God's going to destroy you. That wasn't his message. His message was, he's going to do it. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall. What you're saying is, if he was going to do it, he wouldn't even have told them. Well, I don't know. It wasn't his will to destroy them and throw them in hell, but he determined to do it, and then he repented and didn't do it when they repented. When they repented, he changed. He changed. He did that several times in the Old Testament. God fixes it. God fixes things so that he don't take away our free will and our choice. And then, but he's still sovereign over all. He already knows what he's going to do. But he still fixes it so we have choice. I mean, we can't understand that. I don't know. What you're saying is, if he's going to wipe them out, he wouldn't have told, since somebody told him he's going to wipe them out. I don't know if he would or not. But he knew they was going to repent, of course. God did. proof. I don't know. That's deep.
So prayer can change God's mind, but only if God's will continues.
That sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. I preached a sermon one time years ago, and it really went good, and I've never done it since. And it hit the nail on the head. And the title of it was Action on Earth Initiates Action in Heaven. Action on Earth Initiates Action in Heaven. And it's scriptural that when people prayed and there's certain things, that God does certain things in response to those prayers that He wouldn't have done if they hadn't prayed. And so the people that are all about the sovereignty of God and what's meant to be is going to be and everything's predestined and all that are not right. They're not right. God can change circumstances and He'll even change things that He would have done. Sometimes action on earth initiates action in heaven. And I'm trying to think of an illustration of that right now, like Jonah. That definitely changed when the Jews rejected the Messiah. That definitely changed things. Let's see. Another New Testament example in the book of Acts. Ananias and Sapphira in chapter 5, you know, about selling the land, lying about it. God killed them. They'd have been fine if they hadn't done that. I don't know. Anybody else? He's never going to change His mind about His Word. If His Word says something, that's it. Ain't no use in praying. Pray till you're blue in the face. He ain't going to change it. Yeah, that makes sense. But I'm just saying Jonah didn't go in there and say, if you don't stop sinning, God's going to destroy you. I mean, he said, you're dying. You're going to be dead in 40 days. Maybe that's what he meant. And probably when they all repented, God said, nope, ain't going to do it. And there's plenty of places back in Jeremiah and places like that where it said, when I have pronounced da-da-da-da-da upon a nation, if that nation that I have pronounced shall repent and turn, then I will repent of me the evil that I said I was going to do them and do them good and not evil. You know them scriptures back in there? There's a lot of them like that. Anybody else? There's hope for you if you're still alive. You pray and beg God to have mercy on you. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
If we stay in His divine and correct will, if that's in the shape, not just beyond the all of us, but if we give in to His permissible will, I believe that He can bless, but not near as much as He could have blessed. That's all I'm saying. In other words, it's your design.
Yeah.
But in the weakness of the flesh, we fail and don't do exactly what He wants.
Yeah, well. What's the perfect example of that is the children of Israel in the wilderness. It was only 3 weeks from the time from Egypt to Canaan. 3 week journey. Took them 40 years. And they wandered around. He still blessed them. He fed them every day with manna. He worked miracles. The pillar of fire by day and all that stuff. But they were not exactly where they need to be. He sure could have. And that's the way most Christians spend their life, wandering in the wilderness. Instead of getting in that right, I think I've been in the will of God before, and I think I've been out of the will of God before. And His blessings are definitely on you as you try to do His will. But I don't believe that just because you got out of it, don't mean you can never be in it again. You know, there's some people think, well, you got off track back there, you're done, and that ain't true. Bible is full of examples of people. Peter, all them guys, Jonah that we mentioned. All of them. You say some of it?
He'll eventually keep
Yeah. That's a scary thing. All right. Now look, we're going to stop right here. We're going to have a skit meeting in here in my office, y'all. We're going to... y'all pray for me tomorrow night. They're going back to Denver. Friday night, I'm going back to Denver. Saturday night, down to Spartan.